well. So let's have a word of prayer as we start. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for the people that have put in the effort to come. Lord, help them to know they're not obeying the pastor, they're obeying you, Lord. As much as I can encourage them, Lord, I know many of them had to put in extra effort just to come. I pray you bless them for this effort. But not just that, help them to know there's part and parcel of being a Christian. And because we love Jesus with all of our hearts. And God, we want to just stretch ourselves for your honor and glory. Because you stretched out your hand to die for us. God, this is just but a little effort that we can put, Lord. We remember the words of David Livingstone, a missionary to Africa, who said, this is not a sacrifice. It's just a repayment for what you have done for us. Oh God, thank you. Thank you, Father, for what you are doing in our lives. We pray that you will speak to us in a mighty way, speak to us in a way that, Father, we know you are speaking to us. We pray today that everyone, Lord, as we start the new year, will have a fresh attitude towards your word. And God, as we begin this month with the Bible as a final authority, as well look at some practical things, Lord. I pray for everyone who hear these lessons over the next few weeks. I'm asking you, Father, to do a mighty work in every one of our lives, that from the child all the way to the adult, to those who are retired, Father, they might find the Word of God, not just meaningful, but absolutely applicable. And then the final authority, Lord, in all that we do and say. God, take this session, honor your own name, Lord. Take this servant and hide him behind thy cross. And Father, thy Word alone, empowered by the Holy Spirit, will come forth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the notes will come. Hopefully in a few minutes' time, right? But I'll just go ahead now. If you have some... there's Adrian. Hey, where's Jeremiah? Where's Adrian? Adrian. He's going to the back already. I think he's seeing people. Adrian's Maya. Oh. David from? Huh? Come. Oh, come, come. Just have a seat. Have a seat. We're just starting out. Well, then. How do you find out about us? How do you find out about us? Ah, Grace JV, okay. Oh, okay, well, welcome. Huh? Oh, well, thankful that you can come. Hopefully God will bless your heart. Amen, amen. Oh God, just bring people from everywhere, amen. Okay. Thank God my nephew is here all the way from Tampines. Amen. Okay, let's see. All right, well, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we are going to touch on why the Word of God is important. Okay, I'm hoping to do a survey before this, but never mind. I want our Sunday school to be as practical as possible. Okay, but 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 to 3. Okay, we'll start off with there. Okay. 2 Timothy, again. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 to 3. Okay, let's read together, alright? Ready? 1, 2, begin. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Okay? The Bible tells us Timothy, who was a pastor, was challenged by the Apostle Paul to say this. In the last days, there will be a group of people who will not listen to what God says is true anymore. The word sound means proper. Proper doctrine. The word doctrine means teaching. So, there will come a time that people in this world will no longer want to listen to proper teaching of God's word. Sound doctrine. Example today, the teenage group in this world, in Singapore especially. Okay, sound teaching is study hard, listen to your parents, don't do things that will dishonor them. That's sound doctrine, right? Sound teaching. What do our teenagers do? Hang out, steal, shoplift, etc. And when you tell them, and you tell, who are you to tell me what to do? This is the big change in the teaching today. So Paul actually tells Timothy to do this. Preach the word. teach God's word. Be instant in season. The word be instant means do it immediately in season. The word in season means when it is convenient. But also out of season, when it is not convenient. Okay? So we teach the Bible when it's convenient or when it's not convenient. And not convenient means when people may oppose you, when people may not like what you say, you may with a heart of love say, look, I know you may not like this, but this is what the Bible says. So, let me say this. Okay, then after that, they will actually heed to themselves, verse 3, teachers having itching ears. That means they only want to listen to things. You know when you have an itch, what do? You scratch, right? Why? To make yourself feel good, right? After that, oh, not so itchy anymore. So they will want to listen to teaching that will only make themselves feel good. Okay? That's why Anthony Robbins, is it? Anthony Robbins, the motivational speaker, makes a lot of money. Bill Clinton, you know how, apparently you know how much is a 2-hour session with him? $200,000, you know. They pay him to come. $200,000. And what kind of a person is he? Yeah, he's a former president of the United States, but you know his lifestyle is not very encouraging. But you know, but people gladly listen and sit there. Like, yeah, wow, good man. Wow. But when you hear someone preach God's word, you want to stone him to death. Okay? So, let me say this. We are in this time. When there's time when you, I think you have experienced before, when you share with someone God's word, they don't want to listen. And they actually sometimes actively fight you. You know what the sad thing is? Sometimes even Christians fight the word of God. Okay? Today I want to give you 9 reasons why the word of God is important. I'm going to do a few things. I'll give you this introduction. Then I'm going to go through 9 reasons why the word of God is important. Then I'm going to go through, you will have notes afterwards, okay? Then I'm going to go through the difference between Bible reading, Bible study, and quiet time. Okay? And then at the end of it, I'm going to teach you how to do your quiet time. And then if we really have time, we will actually practice one passage for you to practice those quiet time things. And then, well, a lot of things, right? I'll give you memory verse, okay, that you memorize for this, very simple one. And then I'll give you 5 passages from Monday to Friday. You use what I've taught you with those passages. It's about 30 minutes only, a day you need to spend. And then you practice those skills of having a quiet time yourself. And then next Sunday when you come, we're divided into groups, our other passages. The goal is at the end of this month, everyone in Ambassador will be able to at least, if you have never read the Bible before, hopefully this month will be the starting point. Whereby, you know, okay, at least I know what questions I need to ask, what I need to do. So by the end of January, you will have skill to read your Bible. Does that make sense? If you don't know, just that's why you need to encourage one another. Okay? Ken? Alright. Ken? And I know it's quite a lot, but I want us to actually really get out of this, alright? This session will be split into this week and next week, so there are 2 sessions on the same thing. But hopefully it will help us to develop that skill. Okay, I'll just go on here. We live in a world today that have many excellent resources in Bible study. Agree? Yeah, software, Bible software and all that. We have commentaries, Bible dictionary. I have a software that have over 200 to 300 books in one CD. Alright? And each, there's an encyclopedia and I've inserted other resources. It's like massive, okay? Thousands upon thousands, at least 80 to 100,000 pages on just one CD. Right? But you know, at the same time, today we have one of the most, what you call, Bible illiterate church, Christians of all time. Meaning, many Christians don't know the Bible anymore. Okay? There was one clip I saw in the video. This guy said, quote John 3:16. Okay, who can quote John 3:16? Teenagers. John 3:16. Should not perish but have everlasting life, okay? There was one guy who said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only forgotten Son. He gave His only forgotten Son. No, He didn't give His forgotten Son. He gave only begotten Son. Okay? Bible illiterate. Anyone knows, do you realize India was mentioned in the Bible? India. India was mentioned in the Bible. I'm not joking. Do you know where? Oh, this is quite a far-fetched. Huh? India was mentioned in the Bible. It's found in the book of Esther, chapter 1. Okay? Do you realize the Philippines was mentioned in the Bible? No, like, it's a Filipino.
Philippian.
Okay. But what I'm saying is today, many people come to church, interestingly, but not many people know they know about the Bible. They know that the Bible is full of error. Okay? Right? The Bible is full of error, right? You know what you need to do? Ask them, show me one. Usually these people who say the Bible have a lot of errors, they cannot show you one. You know why? They just hear say. And Christians will listen to these people say, yeah, actually the Bible has a lot of error. Because they don't know what the Bible says. Okay? There was a study by this Barna group. I think you know the Barna group, which is actually a group that does statistics on religious affairs. Okay? They said this, Bibles everywhere don't seem to be making much of a difference. About the same number of people who attend church weekly read the Bible during the week. You know what's the percentage? Only 45% in America attend church and only the 45% read the Bible. Okay? Now, interestingly, this same group found that in the 1994 period to 2004 period of time, there apparently was an increase in Bible reading. There was an increase in the number of people reading the Bible. Okay? Now, but one thing they found out, listen to this. One interesting fact related to behaviors growing in popularity was their non-church nature. That means those people who were reading the Bibles were not doing it because of church. The Bible reading, the prayer, the small groups are those that do not take place at the church. That's frightening. There are many people who claim that they are Christians today, but they don't actually go to church. Okay, pass out the notes. Okay, thank you. Thanks, Tim, for rushing. Okay, Ratim, we'll pass you the notes, alright? We actually have the proper notes so that I want us to keep these notes. Hopefully, you have a little file that you can file, and hopefully, every week we want to actually do it so that at the end of the day, you actually have a set that you can actually refer to. Okay? Thank you. Okay. Okay, don't do the survey first, alright? Actually, the survey is supposed to be done first. Actually, we should do the survey now. Okay, everyone will take one first. Okay? And what I'd like you to do is, after I'm going to touch on this last part, then I want you to actually do the survey and then pass it out, right? Don't have to write your name, okay? There's actually a survey in the middle, okay? Bible reading survey. Alright, everyone should get one copy. Okay, if you have it, I'd like to encourage you to take 2 minutes and just do the Bible survey. Is that okay? Each one should have one, alright? I think there are 40, that should be enough, I'm hoping. The next week we'll print more. Okay, so the 8 questions, I just quickly read through as you are doing it, okay? Have you read one or more chapters of the Bible since last Sunday? Did you try to set aside a time each day to read the Bible? What factors make it difficult for you to devote more time to Bible reading? What factors make Bible reading difficult? What do you think you can do to improve your Bible reading each day? What importance do you place on the Bible and why? What is your favorite story from the Bible and what's your favorite verse? Okay? So just take 2 minutes, alright? Just quickly have one. Okay. For those who are still writing, okay. After you just hand it after, we just go ahead, okay? Because of time. Okay, I just was talking about we live in a world that is filled with Bible knowledge, okay? We have lots of CDs, lots of you can Google and you have lots of Bible knowledge. Of course, if you Google, you have to be very careful what they tell you, okay? Some people, when they write, I must be careful. They will say, well, I believe this, but actually they are Seventh-day Adventists or something. Alright, so you have to be very careful. But among Bible-believing Christians, the sad fact is that many Christians don't even know much about the Bible anymore. Alright, simply because many Christians don't read the Bible. Okay? Now, I gave a statistic just now. Apparently there's many people... Wrong. There are many Bibles everywhere, but only 45% read their Bibles. I want you to note 45%, because that's very interesting. This is Christians in America. Of all the Christians in America, only 45%, based on the survey, actually read the Bible. Okay? The interesting thing is, over the period 1994 to 2004, there seems to be an increase in Bible reading. The problem with that is, they also found out in this Barnum Church group, I read, the activities of Bible reading, prayer, small groups are those that do not take place at a church. Do not take place at a church. Okay? The church-oriented endeavors, attending Sunday school, serving in the church program, Sunday school participation, showed no increase. People are reading more of the Bible, but they're not coming to the church for Bible reading anymore. This church mana group said this. This may be an early warning sign that we are entering a new area of spiritual experience, one that is more individualized, one that is more self-centered. That I want to read it for myself, rather than congregational in nature. Just now I told you about the 45%, right? Okay? About 8 years ago, I did a survey at a youth camp in an independent Baptist church. 30 campers that came, youth camp, only 14 read their Bibles every day. This is interesting because it correlates to what happens in America. Because only 56% of youth don't read their Bibles on a regular basis. And maybe that's why our youth are going down. The youth culture is going down. Okay? I want to give you 9 reasons why it's important. Alright? I'll take about 15 minutes. I want you to understand why the Bible is so important for us as Christians. Because if you are a Christian, you need a standard for your life. And the standard is not what you think. The standard is what God says. And 9 reasons, number 1. In Psalm 138, alright? What I'm going to do is I'm going to give verses to people, right? Let's say, okay, for Psalm 138, verse 2, Brother Rolando and Brother Rolando and Sister Mars, then Sister Jamie and your two. You take 138, verse 2, alright? Then Brother Desmond and Brother Desmond, maybe the group of 5 there. You take the second one, because his word will never, Matthew 24, 35, okay? 5 of them. Alright, the 4 gals at the end. Alright, you take Proverbs 19 verse 21 and Isaiah 8 verse 2. Then you, the goal is when I give you the verses, you're supposed to tell me the answer. You take question B. Because it's what will never what? Matthew 24 verse 35. Okay? Does it make sense? So I'm going to give different verses to different groups of people. You can discuss. I'll give you 1 minute only. And then you give me the answer. Alright? Okay? Then the girls at the end. Okay? C. Then the other half of Toriano family. Alright. D. Okay. Then if Uncle Roland and my wife and this group here, you take E. And then if Tim, you want to go with Brother Robert, lah, you take F. Thanks. And then the role, Brother Leong, Grace, you take G. Then Sir Wichern, Brother Mike, and Sir Joyce, you take F. You take H. And then I, the group behind, okay? How you want Ra Ping Kuang and the group there, you take I, okay? Just read the verse, and what do you think is God trying to say there, alright? Remember, we are setting the importance on the Bible. I can help you if you want. You know the answer? I'll give you the answer. High regard. Okay? Alright, okay, we just quickly go through. Alright, so question number 1. Why is the Bible important? Because God places what? Brother Rolando and his team. It's only one team. Okay? Because God places a high regard on His Word. If I read Psalm 138 for you, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God puts his word above his name. Now that should tell you something about God's thinking about how important his word is. Now, there is nothing higher than the name of God in this world. Alright? But if God places his word above his name, you need to understand, the Word of God is absolutely important. You know why? If the Word of God is not put in high esteem, the glory and the name of Christ is nothing. Does it make sense? Because it is through the Word that we understand more about God. Alright, that's one. B. Because His Word will never. Because his word will never pass away. Alright? Okay, I have it. It will never fade away. Interesting, if you look at the context, Matthew 24:35, Mark 13:31, Luke 21:33, in the verses you can read for yourself at home. Those three verses are exactly the same in the three contexts, Luke, Mark and Matthew. Okay? When the translators and when God put it in the original, the words are exactly the same. And Jesus repeated it how many times? Three times. In exactly the same phrase. We should understand how important it is. The word of God will never fade away. Isaiah 40:8, I'll just read, the grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. 1 Peter 1:25, the word of the Lord endureth forever. Okay? Number three, see, because the word is not too sure, okay. Because the word of God is divine authority, alright? It's divine authority. Let's turn to, okay, that one may not be very clear, but let's turn to 2 Timothy 3:16, okay? 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16, okay? God actually says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Okay? That means, the words that you read in the Bible came up from the mouth of God. And I want you to understand this thing about authority. When a father tells a son to do something, the word, the instruction actually carries authority. It's very different. Like, I think I shared with you before, when Jaira tells someone to do something in our house, you say, okay, Jaira, can you go and do this? See, sometimes he will do, sometimes it may not be done. Okay? But when say, Jay, Papa say, you have to go and do that. Say, okay. Why? Authority. Authority. Why do you think we print out Bible verses every week? We don't want people to get lost and cannot find after I give up. So that you can, okay, I can't find them, I can straight away turn open and it's there. Okay, and thank God, brother Tim, formats it properly so that you can find. I do add in extra as we go along. Okay? So the word of God is divine authority. Do you know what that means? It means it's non-negotiable. It's non-negotiable. You know, when God says something, we cannot butt it. It's just to obey. Just like your boss. You say, hey, sorry, I got work overtime. You say, hey, boss, come on. I got to take dinner, no. Boss, come on. I got my favorite show, no. And the boss say, come on. I'll sack you, no. Right? We can negotiate with we don't negotiate with God, we negotiate with God all the time. Okay, we need to be very careful. The word of God is divine authority. Alright, number four group. Rajun? Okay, because the word of God is the guide or the light. Okay, I just had it here, because the word of God lights up our pathway in life, a guide, okay, you said right. Okay, the word of God is a guide. It lights up the pathway in our lives. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you have no direction in your life, if you think your life is, I just use the word bumming around in life. You know what you need to do? You need to go to the Bible. The Bible will tell you where to go. I'll give you a simple practical example. Let's say in life you meet a setback in your life. You want to go, those people in the O levels, and where we pray with those people in the O levels, and hopefully that God will give you good results so that it can open up opportunity. But what if you met a setback like me, when I met a setback in my life in O levels? I wanted to go JC, and last time JC was 17 points, best of 5, I got 18 points. And I want to appeal to my favorite school, Victoria Junior College, but I also cannot. I say, I'll play soccer for you, also cannot. Alright? That's a major setback in my life. But you know what I shared with the O-level people on Friday night, to pray with them to prepare their hearts. I said three things. Number one, Jeremiah 29:11 says, God knows His plans for you. Number two, I shared with them, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God. In other words, whatever the results come, God already knows. Alright? Can I challenge those O-level people and maybe next time when you get anything in your life, the results that you get is only a part of God's plan. It's not the end of the world. Many youth take it as the end of the world. Don't do that. see that results in the light of God's plan. Okay? And number three, I gave them this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18. What does the verse say? Anyone? 1 Thessalonians 5 18? Anyone? 1 Thessalonians 5 18? You need to know this verse. 1 Thessalonians 5 18, you need to know 5 18. What does it say? That's verse 17. In everything give thanks. You must know this verse, okay? That will take you through life. In everything give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God concerning you. In Christ Jesus concerning you, okay? You need to know this verse. And so whatever setback you have, you say, Lord, I may not thank you for the thing, but I can thank you when I'm in the thing. Does that make sense? Sometimes you cannot thank God you broke your leg. Because it's a tragedy, something happened. But you know, you can thank God that I was sharing with the O-level people. You say, you know, if you break your leg, if you break your leg, what can you thank God for? Not for the broken leg. Sorry? You're still alive. What else? You get MC, right? You get a rest. What else? It may sound funny, but you know what? When I was in hospital with my leg there, you know, I was just... It was one time I went for a church camp, and the moment we hit the coach going up to Port Dickson, that was about the only time I can just rest and do nothing. I switched off auto roaming because it was too expensive. You can thank God. You realize you can thank God for anything, everything, when even though you go through the hard times. You know why Christians face life with that kind of faith? Because you don't understand. You know, as a Christian who loves God, you need to thank God in the thing, alright? The Word of God lights up the pathway in your life. Number five, this group. Meaning? Because? Okay, point number five is because the Word of God actually has life. Did you know that? The Word of God actually has life. Okay? Jesus said, John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, Brother Johnny, what does that mean? No? What do you mean the Word of God? It doesn't jump out at me. Huh? I'll give you an example. What it means life. How do you think the world was created? Hebrews 11 verse 3 says what? By faith, we understand that the worlds were created by the Word of God. In other words, God said, let there be light. God said, think about that, God said, let there be light. Light came out. And remember they were in a storm? Let's turn to Mark chapter 4 verse 41. Okay, we see the Word of God that has life. You know why I focus so much on God's Word? It's because if you know God's Word, life comes into you. By faith. Mark 4:41. This was a situation whereby the disciples were in the storm. They were afraid. And in verse 38, they can even accuse the master. You look at verse 38. Master, careth thou not that we perish? How can anyone say that of Jesus? But you know what? In times of fear, we will curse everyone. Alright? You lah, if you have done that. But you know what Jesus said? Jesus didn't do anything. He just rolled out. He actually rebuked the wind. Okay? And he said what? Peace. In other words, steadier. Slow down. Peace. Be still. And guess what happened? Can you imagine the disciples were afraid and suddenly? Hey, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? Think about that. Jesus just said, peace, be still. And then the disciples say, who is this? What he said, even the elements have to obey him. You know why? Because there's power in the Word. Now, I'm not this word faith thing, the Pentecostal people, and say, I speak it and it happens. But when you take the Word of God as it is, because it was spoken by God, that's why when you believe on the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. And God actually backs that up with all the actions He needed to. By death on the cross, the Holy Spirit regenerates us. But you know what? The Word of God has life. And maybe because many Christians do not live the abundant life, because you're trying to get life from this world that is temporary. You're trying to get philosophies of this world that is temporary. You're trying to understand Stephen Covey, but that is temporary. But when you understand God's Word, your change is permanent. Your thinking is changed. Your life is changed. To the point that people can see the change. Why? Because the Word of God has life. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. The Word of God is quick. The word quick means alive and powerful. That's why sometimes you come to church, you don't like me anymore. That's okay. If what I say is what God's Word, you don't like me, that's fine. Because I'm not the one that you need to like. You need to like God. You need to come to Christ. Okay? The next one, who is that? Because there is what? Because there's no wisdom and there's no light outside of the Word of God. Because the Bible says to the law and to the testimony, in other words to the Bible, if they speak not according to God's Word, it is because there is no light in them. You know what? The fearful thing for us as parents, as pastor, as men who give counsel, or ladies who give counsel to us, if we speak anything that is not in line with God's Word, you have no light, and I have no light. That's what God says, okay? So there is no light outside the world of God. And in Jeremiah 8:9, the wise men are ashamed, they are dismayed, or discouraged, and they are taken, in other words, they have been captured. Lord, they have rejected the Word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in there? When we live life without considering God's Word, you know what God says? What wisdom do you have for life? Okay? Next one. Brother Taylor in the group. Yeah, okay. The Word of God helps us to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with open faith, the word open faith has the idea of transparency. In other words, you allow yourself to be honest and open. We all with open face, beholding as in a glass. The word glass there has to do with the Bible. Because in James chapter 1, the Word of God is referred to as a glass. Remember? He that looketh at the perfect law of liberty is like unto a man who looketh himself in the glass. Okay? So that's the glass of God's Word. So the more we look at the glass, the Bible says we are changed into the image in the Bible, the glass. Does that make sense? And the more we read the Bible, do you realize the more you should become like Jesus? The more you read the Bible, the more you should become like Christ. I'm setting that as an expectation of God. The more we read the Bible, the more we will become like the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that is the intention and will of God. Does that make sense? Okay? And when you understand that, I hope your Bible reading takes on a whole new different meaning. In other words, when you sit down with God in the morning and say, Lord, I want to be like Christ. And Lord, I know that you're going to tell me things about my pimple here. And God, you're going to tell me to change certain attitudes and certain things I do, and that I might get in line with you so that I can change to become more like Christ. The next one, Brother Mike in the group there. To be? Okay, to be perfect, to be mature, to do what? To serve God. Okay? That the man of God may be truly furnished. The word truly, now you King James Bible have thoroughly. Okay? The word should be truly. Thoroughly means complete. Truly means from the inside. The Word of God changes us from the inside. Okay? So the man of God may be perfect, mature, truly furnished, unto all good works. The Word of God prepares us to serve God with the proper attitude. That's why in a church, what we're going to do is focus a lot more on discipling people. Okay? You see, we talk about it Friday night, we talk about it, the men talk about it Monday. We want to actually help young Christians grow to a point they have characteristics of Christ before they serve God, so that they'll be truly furnished unto all good works. Okay? So, next one. Number 9. Last one. The word of God will be our judge. This is the biggest one. Because the word of God will be our judge in the last day. Because the Bible says, John chapter 12 verse 40, he that rejecteth me and welcometh not my word. The word receive means welcome. If you don't welcome God's word, it's in the active tense, by the way. Many people come to church, hear God's word, and go on and live their own lives. You know what they will tell me? I didn't reject God's word. But you know what? On the other hand, you didn't welcome it too. You can have a guest in your house. If you don't pay attention to it, but you don't chase him out, what's the message you're sending? You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Any questions? If you have a friend in your house, but you don't pay attention to the person, what message are you sending? I'm not pushing the person out, but neither am I welcoming. So what message are you sending? Actually, the real message is, I don't want you in my house. Think about that. We all go through that. That's why Jesus made it very clear. If you reject me and receive it, notice he put the reject active and receiveth not, welcome not. Because he's trying to tell us the rejection and the welcome not is in the same category. Okay? Had one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, the same means the self same thing, refers to the word, shall be his judge in the last day. When we as Christians stand before God, guess what will be open? The Bible will be open at the day of judgment. That's why it makes logical sense for us to prepare ourselves for the final exams. Okay, there was one church in US, I think, have this big sign. Come in and help, let us help you prepare for the final exams. Okay, when we stand before God. Can anyone think of any other reasons why the Word of God is important for us? I'm sure there are any other reasons. Okay, at least these are the nine that hopefully will help. So since the Word of God is so important, what do you think God expects us to do? What do you think God expects us to do? Hey, don't be so silent, ah. What do you think God expects us to do since the Word of God is so important? Okay, read the Word, okay? What else? Timothy Toriano, when you prepare for your exams, what do you do with your... Do you do physics? You do, right? What do you do with your physics textbook? Is that all you do? What do you mean by study? What do you mean by understand it? Okay. So that you can? To the questions, right? Okay. It's interesting. When we study for physics exam, we will look through... How many of you study this way? I can be quite sure some people do this, alright? They just skim through study already. And then there's... Some people, let's put it this way, some people can score A's even. I know of one girl, she is so smart. She just came through and she gets straight A's on. And she's an integrated program. These are rare. Unless you have IQ of 140 and above. Okay, 130 and above. These are rare. Let's put it this way. We are not in the rare category. Amen? Because, did you realize if you're in the rare category, the expectation is higher. As a Christian, your expectation is higher from God too. Because God was the one who gave you those rare skills. In other words, you need to know the Bible much more than everyone else. Okay? Sadly, this girl was in our Sunday school many years ago. She was the one who brought in a lot of people. After that, she went back to the world. And now she's always in the world. Nothing can pull her back. Because the world has attracted them so much. Okay? Now, since the Word of God is so important, God expects us to read, to know, to study the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Timothy, do you know the verse? Or anyone else? Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word study means to be diligently pouring in effort. Okay? Can I just challenge that, or rather speak to those people who are preparing for exams? The same way you prepare for your O and A levels and whatever exams you have, it is with the same diligent attitude God expects you to be in the Bible. Because at the end of the day, you want to be approved at your OA level exams, yes? You want to be approved means the examination board will give you a good grade. And I hope Ambassador Baptist Church, everyone will say, Lord, I want a good grade at the judgment seat. I want a good grade at the judgment seat. Okay? Now, I'll give you some, any questions up to there? Some facts about the Bible, okay, as we keep going. Okay, the Bible is a collection of 66 books written by God. Okay, initially I want to say written by man. Say, no, that's not true. It's written by God, revealed to holy men of God who wrote it down for us so that we may know God. Okay, so that we may know the true God. I just turn to Exodus 24 and verse 12. If anyone say, no lah, the Bible is just written by man, then this verse is very, very clear. I use it when I taught the children, okay, families. If you want to teach your children that the Bible is written by God, this is a clearest verse. Not the clearest. There are other verses clearer as well, talking about written with the finger of God. But let's read together so we can get a sense. Ready? Exodus 24 verse 12. Ready? 1, 2, begin. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there. I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach them. So what I did with the children's group when I was teaching during our King James seminar, I was teaching them the word of God is written by God. So I asked them firstly, who was speaking? Parents, take note. Ask your children, who was speaking? So they will say, who is speaking in this verse? God. Who was he speaking to? Moses, okay? If God was speaking, what did he say? He said, give the people the law, the commandments, and the statute, which what? I. Then I ask, who is the I? Then the children will say, God. So who wrote the Bible? God. It's so obviously clear, alright? Just for you to teach your children. So tonight, night devotions, again, to teach that, okay? Yeah, that's what we need. And so the children will say, the Bible, then in school they will say, no, the Bible, no, my papa teach me, no, not just my papa, in Exodus 24, verse 12, the Bible say, God, see, come, I teach you, come. And then your children will also be unskilled and have the confidence. God does have the answer, by the way, alright? Okay. Then, The Bible is divided in the Old Testament and New Testament. How many chapters are there in
the Bible? I just want to throw that in.
How many chapters are there in the Bible? 1,189 chapters, okay? 1,189 chapters. Right, Johnny? That's a useless piece of Bible information. No, it's useful if you are planning to read your Bible through in 1 year. Divided by 366. This year got leap year. Okay. Divided. This year is a leap year, 2012. So you need to add one more day. So God is giving you grace. Can you see that?
So that the last day is to catch up with your Bible reading.
1,000 words. Okay, how many books are there in the Old Testament? How many books? How many books are there in 30? 38? Anyone else? How many books are there in the Old Testament? 39. Okay, 39. How many books are there in the New Testament? 66 minus 39, 27. If you say, bro, Johnny, I cannot remember, then 39, 3 times 9 equals to 27 books in the New Testament. Okay? Alright. Every word is what? Inspired or given by God. Every single word that you will read in your Bible was God-breathed. Okay? So, there are histories, literature, doctrine, prophecy, and parables in the Bible. I want to highlight one very important. There's only one interpretation in the Bible. God's interpretation. When I write a letter, let's say to Brother Desmond, okay, I write an email to Brother Desmond, or you write an email to anyone, you only have one intention, yes? And the words will come out to reflect your intention, right? So when God gave the Bible, that was the same. Many people will say, come on, the Bible has many interpretations. No, it's written by one person, and one person is God. And God only has one reason and purpose for writing the Bible. And so you have to study the Bible in a particular way that for you to understand the Bible. Does it make sense? So we need to look at the method we use. There are many, many interpretation teachings, but I won't go into that. But the way, the only one interpretation method for the Bible that is correct is a grammatical, historical, literal method of translation. In other words, you take the grammar, you take the historical context, and you take it literally. Okay, if you say the king killed his mother, which he did, okay, it's not something, it's not spiritual, it's just the king killed the mother. When God says, for God so loved the world, what does he mean? What does he mean? For God so loved the world means what? Yeah, he loves all us. You know what? The Calvinists don't believe that. They say the world means only the Christians. Those from the Reformed Church. But the Bible says, for God so loved the world. Okay? And you know the world in the Greek, now going to grammar in Greek, is cosmos. Okay? The Calvinist who says that it's only for the Christians use the word elect. In the Greek, it's electos. God uses different words. So when we study in the grammar, in the history, John was telling the people, it was a general term, for God so loved the world. And it literally, it means, if for whosoever shall believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What does that mean? Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's what it means. If Jesus says, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. What does that mean? It means if you don't repent, you will likewise perish. Okay? If Jesus says he's the door, it means Jesus is the wooden door, right? Right? Is he the wooden door? No. When it comes to that kind, then you must use your brain. When Jesus says he's the door, it means that he is something that when you go through, you go somewhere else. Alright? So Jesus is the door. If you go through the Lord Jesus, you go to heaven. Does that make sense? So that's what it means when we actually interpret it in the grammatical, historical, literal method. Okay? I put it in there, I think, whereby, say, if the plain sense makes common sense, seek no other sense, otherwise it becomes nonsense. Alright? It does happen. Alright? Okay? Alright. Now, let's quickly go through the last part. Is there a difference between Bible reading, Bible study, and quiet time? I should give you that already, right? Where? Oh yeah, I give you. Okay, I just read that. Okay, Bible reading is reading of the Bible. Sounds funny, right? You know, many Christians do reading of the Bible. Okay? It can be not for knowledge, it can be for fun, for interest, but there's no in-depth study. What is Bible study? Bible study is the studying of the Bible to understand it in its context, meanings, and how it can be applied to life. Alright? Some people stop at the meanings part. They don't apply to life. You know what's an interesting thing? From the Barna Research Group, they said this. Although there's an increase in Bible reading generally from the year 2000 to year 1994 to 2004, only 7% of Christians actually study the Bible. You know what that means? Let's say you have 100 people at a buffet. In Singapore, when 100 people at a buffet, the food will be gone in 10 minutes. I know when I was as a soldier, we went to this particular country, and so we have R&R, you know, R&R, right? Rest and recreation. So the busload of the soldiers will stop at the restaurant. I'm not joking. The moment we hit the restaurant, in 10 minutes, all the food gone. All the food on the table is gone, including the rice. Okay? But if you think about that, it's like 100 people in a spiritual buffet, only 7 people would really dig in and eat of what God is giving. Ambassador Baptist Church cannot be that kind of church. If you want life in your own life, okay? Right? Okay, then there's Bible reading, Bible study, and the last one. Quiet time or devotion is a time spent alone with God in the reading of the Bible and prayer, expecting God to speak to you. Okay? A quiet time simply means being intentionally having a conversation with God. This means usually listening for God's voice by reading the Bible or devotions. Now, I want to touch on this a little bit. Many people will hear this. God didn't tell me. I've had this before, even from well-meaning, fundamental Christians. God didn't tell me. You know, I like to say, well, God is telling you now. I'm telling you. You see, when we go out down that track, you know what you're doing? I'm not going to accept anyone's voice except my own. Or we spiritualize it by saying it's God's voice. Even as pastor, I must be very careful. That's why I always change my language. God's word. No, it's, I had an impression. And I need to back it up with God's word. I need to be very careful. And I don't promote this. Because when you think something which is against God's word, someone comes and tell you, I had this person when I was speaking to, was talking to me about church membership. And you know what he told me? Well, Brother Johnny, God hasn't spoken to me about church membership. Because he was a bit elderly, I didn't want to kind of... Church membership is in the Bible. Okay? And so, it means, when we go down this track, in my quiet time, God spoke to me. Now, if God spoke to you about something, there's a few things that must happen. Number one, He must build you up. Number two, your faith, the Bible says, 1 Timothy chapter 3, must be evident to all. In other words, what you learn from God will bless the people around. I say that again. When you read the Bible, and God helps you to grow, essentially you become a tree of life that people can tap on and they can grow. However, when we read the Bible for ourselves and only to govern what we want, we need to be very, very careful there. Doesn't make sense? Because the quiet time is God and empowering you and skilling you, teaching you the things that will benefit the world, your family, the church, and the lost. Because we don't live for ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Why am I quoting all these verses to you? Because it is the will of God. We need to get away from this thing that God hasn't spoken to me. Should I serve God? Let me ask you. Let's ask this blink. Should I serve God? What's the answer from the Bible? Yes. Okay, now then I'll go down. Okay, Brother Johnny, what about certain areas? Should I go serve God in a certain area? Do you realize one thing in the Bible? When there's a gap in the Bible, the man of God always say, I'll fill that gap. Regardless of who I am, where I am, what skills I have. They didn't even go into, God didn't speak to me. Oh yeah, there may be some resistance, like Gideon, calling me. But you know what Isaiah did? You know, what did Isaiah do when God says, whom shall I send? Or who will go for us? Isaiah didn't say, well, God, you're not speaking to me. That's what people, yes.
Mm-hmm. You just explained when there is a gap in the Bible.
No, not in the Bible. When the gap, sorry, thank you for that. Gap in the service of God. Yeah, in the thanks for that. Gap in the service of God. Gap in the service of God. Let's say if there's something that's outstanding. For example, we have, let's say, for vegetables, we have meat, we have soup, we have curry, and we have spicy hot curry. What do we need with this food? What's the gap? We need rice. Right? Okay? And so, thank God, people brought. And so, everyone is blessed. Does that make sense? But Brother Johnny, I don't know how to cook rice. Doesn't matter, there's such thing called a rice cooker. Or get someone else to do it, you know? Does it make sense? Okay? Not just rice, but the chicken. And when there's a service gap, thanks for that, when there's a service gap in the Bible, you know what? If I read my Bible right, many of the Christians just stood up. I'll do it. We need to get away. We need to get away from this thinking. I'm not going to fill the gap until God calls me. Okay? Maybe that's why God's work is not moving forward as fast. We need to be clear on that, alright? So, but the quiet time is a time that we learn to understand what God means and what He wants us to do, alright? Okay, any questions? Okay, why do you do your quiet time? What do you do your quiet time? It's all there. Open to the floor. Even there, it's open there. It's supposed to be for me only. Never mind. Alright, what do you do your quiet time? Just very quickly. Remember, Bible Christianity is not a legal relationship. It's your relationship with God. And as such, you need to maintain that through your quiet time. Alright? You need to speak to the person. 10,000 don'ts will never make you one iota. Means one bit like the Lord Jesus Christ. Many Christians know a lot about the Bible, but it doesn't change them into the image of the Bible, which is Christ. It is Jesus Christ Himself who makes us like Him, but you need to spend time with Him. Now I'll give you It's actually six factors, alright? Just very quickly there. I'll just give you the thing, and then quickly get to the back. I'll give you the... Number one is a proper persuasion. Proper persuasion simply means you need to want to read the Bible. The only way you want to read the Bible is by prayer. Okay? Sometimes when you don't like to do something, I haven't read the thing yet, but you know, it could be possible that some people, you know, there are some people who, let's see, okay, what factors make the Bible reading difficult? After reading a bit, I start to lose interest. This 2 persons said this, 3 persons said this. I'm not making people feel good. I just want to highlight these things because it's very important that we understand. Okay, another person after reading a bit, I start to lose interest. Okay, now we need to be persuaded that without God's word, you don't have abundant life. Zero. You are going through life in your flesh. Can I say that again? If you don't have the Bible, you are going through life in the flesh. Whatever decisions you make will be in the flesh. Maybe for those older Christians, you can tap on your older experiences. But you know what? After a while, God speaks to us new every day. There's a new message every day for us. If you don't discover that, you're not growing in your relationship with Christ. We need to know God. God has things that He wants to say to us, but sometimes He can't because we don't read. Or we come to church, we come to Friday night, we learn. But even after that, we don't apply it. Okay? Number one, we must be persuaded, alright, that the Word of God is the most important. I'll just read one verse. Oh, David said, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments which I have loved." Psalm 119 verse 127. "Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, above material possessions, above the things of this world." That's what the psalmist said. I love thy law. Psalm 119 verse 159. "Consider how I love thy precepts," the word of God. "Make me alive, quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. My soul has kept thy testimonies, and I love them," David says, "exceedingly." That means beyond everything else, he loved God's word. Okay, number one, the proper persuasion. Remember, the second part under proper persuasion is you are not the teacher, your thinking is not the teacher, the Holy Spirit is your teacher. As you read the word of God, God, the Holy Spirit will teach you things. Okay, that doesn't mean you don't think through, but you do need to understand it's the Holy Spirit that teach. Now, the difference between the Holy Spirit teaching us and we learning ourselves is this. When you learn it ourselves, it benefits yourself. But when the Holy Spirit teaches you, it comes out as fruit. There will be action related to it. People start to get blessed by your attitude. And you can point back to the fact that God spoke to me at the time that I need to do something there. Does that make sense? And there are certain principles that I have in my life that I say... When I look at the Lord Jesus Christ, and He says, Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, "Pray therefore, Lord of the harvest, that God send forth laborers in the harvest field." My principle is, if I don't do it, no one else will. And that's why I keep doing it. Because God says the laborers are few. And thank God, people get saved. And with the cooperation of Christians and ambassadors, the work is getting out, and we're working together. Because the laborers are few. Does that touch your heart, the laborers are few? That's something that I want us to... The proper persuasion. Number two is a proper period of time. Okay, I'll just give... We must find the right time. Next, because of time, we'll probably have to rush through a little bit. But the proper period means you need to find the correct time. Alright? You need to... Don't give God your leftover time. And like before you sleep. Alright? I know it's hard. Johnny is very tired after work. No one prepares... No one plays a concert before preparing the instruments by tuning, right? By warming up. How are we supposed to face life on a daily basis when we don't have time in God's Word? Maybe that's why we fumble along. I know it is hard, but can I just put this in for all of us? We need to start the day by reading the Bible. Because that was a pattern of Jesus. It means that you may have to get up earlier. What, then give up your newspaper in the night, give up Facebook in the night, give up your chatting in the night, go to sleep, stop watching those movies so that you can get up earlier to read the Bible, because that's most important. What I had to do was, I always do my Bible reading in front of the computer, because that's where I got a sword searching and all that. You know what's the problem? I always check email. I had to tell myself, I am not going to check my email until I finish reading the Bible. Oh, that God will give us discipline. This is what is required. Amen. We have more people coming to learn. Alright, just very quickly. The proper period of time, alright? Psalm 5 verse 3 says, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. Then the proper preparation. You must be physically alert. Don't read your Bible half asleep. Go drink coffee if you have to. Go and bathe. Put ice in your mouth or something. Eat. What was that? There's one very sour. What's it called? There's some sour. What's that? No, not plum. The sweet that is so sour that you. There's one sweet, right? It's our super lemon sauce. If you need that to wake you up, then do it, you know. Okay? Just drink coffee, double dose if you have to. Just be physically aware, be mentally aware. Aware what? Know that God is there with you. And then thirdly, be morally clean. In other words, don't live in sin when you are reading the Bible. The next one, the proper place. Find a place where you can focus. Matthew 6 verse 6 talks about Jesus says, enter into your closet. Have a place. For me, my closet is well in front of my computer and everything is dark. I just have my table lamp. And now the whole family is sleeping. I'm just reading by myself, so I have no distraction. Find your own closet there. A place of isolation so that no one will disturb you. That's one thing. Even when my children read the Bible, if I need to get them to do things, I won't interrupt them. Okay, if they're reading the Bible, I won't interrupt them. Because their time is with God. Alright? And parents, we need to have the understanding. The proper provisions, next one. Okay? These are recommended tools. And if to read the Bible fruitfully, you need to have this. Number one, you need a readable Bible. Don't have that one that is font 4 or something. Some of your Bible is font number 4. Or something. It's ridiculous. Alright? Mine is about, I don't know what font can, but it's just good for me. And I'll probably have to do this soon. You know? A readable Bible, what we call a notepad. Okay, also, the second one is a prayer journal. Alright, and then a notepad. Something to write down. Can I say this? When you read your Bible, you must write something down. Writing things down crystallizes your thoughts. Crystallizes your thoughts. Okay? And that's why I force myself to, now I'm forcing myself to write it down. I've been writing it since I was a teenager. I've got books that I have in my storage that I've written down thoughts. And I believe when you crystallize those thoughts, it becomes a conviction. Okay? Write it down. Don't just read because you will forget. Because the moment you stop your Bible reading, you know what happens? Oh, MRT going to come! Then you run. And hey, what did I read? What did I read now? How many of you can remember what you read yesterday? Put your hand. The question is, yeah, okay. Alright, so the proper procedure. Okay, I'll just give you this. Then we probably have to close. Get still and be quiet. Get into the Word of God. Meditate. Record what God has given you. I'll just give you that next week. We'll go through in detail, right? Begin to share what you've learned. And finally, obey what God tells you. Now, I just want to touch this last part. The last part is obedience. Learn this. Revelation and obedience is your spiritual train. Choo-choo! Okay? There are two tracks. God's revelation and our obedience must go concurrently. Choo-choo! Okay? If the revelation is on, but obedience is not on, you choo-choo! Ah! You understand? God can be showing you, but your train will be stuck. Okay? There's an R and an O there. Learn to obey the Word of God, what God says. Okay, your practice passage at home. Okay, suppose you practice passage here, but next week we'll go through, we'll begin by going through it, then after we practice it here, and then we'll do Matthew 5, 13, 6. You can do it yourself. Use some of these things, okay? Hang on, let me see. Okay, can I just give you a few more things? Under meditate, alright? Can you just put arrows out there? I want you to actually, not just is there a command to obey, above that there are some things I want you to use so that you can use it in your own quiet time, alright? As you read your Bible, number one, you pray first. I'm sure you pray. And then you read the passage. And this is what you ask yourself when you are reading the passage. Number one, who is speaking in the passage? Who is speaking in the passage? Sometimes it could be God. Like John 3:16. It was Apostle John who was speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So it will be God. But in some situations, Cornelius may be speaking. Cornelius asked his soldiers to go and find Peter. So you write down, who is speaking? Number two, to whom is he speaking? Okay? Who is speaking, firstly? And number two, to whom is he speaking? Number three, what is he saying? As simple as Cornelius example in Acts 10, go and find Simon the Tanner. Because God told me to do that, okay? So what did he speak? He said, he told his soldiers or his henchmen, go and find Peter. Why is he speaking? Because God showed him to go and find that person, okay? Then, what was the outcome? The people obeyed, they went, Peter came. So you write that all down. And then at the end of that, you ask yourself, okay, now that I've learned all this, I've found out why and what. What is the Lord trying to tell me about this passage? Now that would be application. Because you've known the context of what God says. And your applications, can I say, must be directly related to what you have found out. Because anything else is your own interpretation. It's your own mind. Okay? And then what is one thing I must do as a result of this passage? And that's your application. Specific. So it could be, one application I can think of straight away is, I would think of Peter, let's say. I would say, I must be ready because God can send anyone to me that I may give him an answer from the Bible. That was what Cornelius did, right? That's one thing. Another application could be, when God speaks to me through the Bible or through the preaching, I must be ready to act on it like Cornelius immediately. Another application. Does that make sense? And I want us to go through this system of thought because I want to put that into everyone. If you have your own, fine. And you find it useful, fine. But if you not tweak it a bit, then at the end, there are some, this is more specific, it's a command to obey, promise to claim, sin to avoid, lesson to learn, a new truth to carry with me. I can guarantee you, if you do this, it will benefit you. Jeremiah, Joanna, Jaira, etc. haven't yet, are the products of this. When they were seven, I set them down, RPG, enough. It's time you go for the real thing. And because they can read this Bible. They can answer the questions. Initially, I have to facilitate that a little bit. But over time, I can guarantee you, nothing beats getting into real stuff. RPG is prepared processed food that you get from the supermarket. Go for the real thing. Of course, like Michael and all that. Roy may have to teach Michael or whoever that's given the task to teach Michael some of the stuff. Because she can't read yet. Okay? Any questions? Right now is next week. Try to be punctual. Next week we actually will have practice sessions on this, okay? You will actually have assignments, right, at the end? Can you see the assignments? Monday, 1 John 1, chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. Use what I just gave you in terms of the meditation. All you need to do, is there? You don't have, huh? I don't have, okay. Yeah, I need to give you. Please write it down. Okay, just write it down. Okay, your assignment is to memorize. Very easy, right? Psalm 119, verse 9. Oh, how I love thy law, that it is my meditation on the day. Very straightforward, right? At the end. Memorize. Okay, your reading, just reading, Bible reading assignment. Just reading assignment, just read Psalm 119. Why? It's a longer psalm. But you know why read Psalm 119? Because minus 3 to 5 verses, all the rest of the verses relates to the Word of God. Alright? If you can memorize that, I'll give you a sweet. No, I'll give you more than that. I'll give you a... Right? Psalm 119. Then, on Monday, just write down quickly, on Monday, tell you what, let's see, okay. You don't have your assignment, now. Huh? Okay, your assignment is, what do I have? Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. That's all, you have the whole week to go through that. Okay? Next week, then I'll go through more. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. What you do is you go under the meditate portion and the extra questions I've given to you, just use that, okay? That's all. Alright, and next week will come the assignments, read Psalm 119, just memorize that verse and do that. Is that okay? Is that too much? Okay. Well, let's have a word of prayer, right? Then we can. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We pray. The Lord this year might bring a refreshment from on high. God, and we will learn. The Lord, we may grow. Firstly, to honor you. Then, secondly, to bless our families. And then finally, to reach people for Christ. Oh God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will do the work. We thank you. Prepare our hearts for the service in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay?